This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. ربيع تبدى بهذه الصدور وعمر تندى بها أحلى شعور وإخوان خير لهم غاية لختم الكتاب ونير إمام قرطبي says in a hadith of Bukhari, and it's been narrated in others, that كان الله ولا شيء معه. Allah was there and there was nothing at all that was there in terms of creation. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Allah was there in His existence, in His pure existence, and nothing was there. Now, just to quickly go over this and explain this, because the ultimate waswasa that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that the shaitan will give to people is, if this is هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ, this is the creation of Allah, فَمَنْ خَلَقَ اللَّهِ, so who created Allah? This is the ultimate waswasa deviation of shaitan, or trying to lead people astray, is to actually start to get you to think of Allah to the extent that you start thinking about Allah, well, who created you? See, there's certain things that we don't think about Allah. Certain things. Number one is, now we have to remain within within limits. Because if you go too much into thought about Allah, you may spoil your aqeedah. You may spoil your beliefs about Allah. So one of the things is that we don't know how Allah Azza wa Jal looks, and we will never find out how Allah Azza wa Jal looks until we get onto the Day of Judgment. If Allah blesses someone with seeing Him on the Day of Judgment, they will see Him. If not, when we get to Jannah, everyone will see Him in Jannah. So, one of the extremes is to try and imagine Allah Azza wa Jal in some form. Now, Allah has no form whatsoever that we can put Him into. So there's no concept of, you know, a lot of Muslims, they actually don't know this, that this is actually completely forbidden to do, but they kind of hear the arsh, they hear Allah's arsh or His throne, and they imagine that Allah sits on the throne, na'udhu billah. It's absolutely forbidden to do this. Allah has said He has arsh, which in our world means that it is a throne. Now in our world, we know how a throne looks like. It will have, it will probably have a few legs, and it'll have a place to sit, and you can sort of rest your arms onto the sides and so on, and a king normally sits on a throne. But what Allah meant by His throne, we don't exactly know. Even if you say that the arsh is something similar to the thrones that we have on this earth, if a Muslim imagines Allah to sit on the throne, that will be kufr, that will be disbelief. Because what you've done is, you've limited Allah within dimension. You've limited Allah within dimensions. So if I, for example, I'm sitting here right on this chair, so my body is limited, my thighs are within this, the edge of this side of the chair, and my other thigh on the left side is limited here, to this side of the chair. My back is now sitting comfortably within this little shape that has been, made into the chair so that I can lean against it. And my whole body is on or within the limited space of this chair. If one imagines Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way on the arsh, it will be kufr, because Allah has got no space that limits Him. There's no space, because space, dimension, is His creation. Dimension is His creation. Right now, I'm sitting on this chair. This is in front of me. This is to my right, to my left, above me, beneath me, and behind me. These are dimensions that exist. Allah has no such thing. Because all these dimensions that I pointed to, these dimensions, are the part of the creation of God. They are His creation. So if a person limits Allah to anything, if a person limits Allah to anything, it will be kufr. Another extreme is to, you know, the certain ahadith that will talk about Allah Azza wa Jal, Him descending. And Allah, you know, like for example, in the last third part of the night, Allah comes to the first guy and He says, who is there to ask me for forgiveness? I will forgive him. Who is there to ask me something? I will give it to him, and so on. Now, if one imagines that Allah Azza wa Jal moves, He moves, and He's sometimes here and sometimes not here, but He's over there, again, that is not right. What those ahadith mean is that Allah's mercy is close. Allah's mercy is close to the human beings at that time. Allah's readiness to accept His servant's tawbah or repentance is close at that time. Not the fact that Allah actually moves in time or space. That is not something which Allah Azza wa Jal has done, because time and space are part of His creation. Another extreme is to imagine Allah Azza wa Jal, because Allah has said, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light. I mean, if you literally read it, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. But if you look in the tafsir, this is an ayah in Surah An-Nur, ayah number 35 in Surah An-Nur, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. If you actually look in the tafsir, it's Allahu munawwiru samawati wal ard. Nur here means munawwir, which means what? Which means that Allah is the giver of light, the provider of light in the heavens and the earth. He's the provider of light in the heavens and the earth. Which means that it is wrong of people to just imagine Allah as a light. It's wrong to imagine that he's a light, or he's there in front of me looking. No. What we do is we just know His existence. We know Allah's existence. And we know, see, one of the things that you can do is, Allah Azza wa Jal has said, إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah knows everything, so therefore He knows my place. Allah is Samir, He hears everything, so He hears me as I'm saying something to Him. Allah is one who sees everything, so therefore where I am, He sees me exactly where I, you know, what I'm doing, what I'm intending, what I'm saying, what I'm thinking. Allah knows that. And that's how we think of Allah, that He is there, His existence is there. We do not say that He is, I know there's a debate between the certain people of certain different sects of Aqeedah. And I, you know, some people accuse, you know, there's accusations going on both sides. One party says that He, because Allah has said, He has used istawa ala al arsh and so on, so He's above. Or istawa, He's used the word istawa. Istawa means that He has ascended. That's what they allude this meaning to be, that He has ascended. So He's ascended towards the sky, or He's ascended towards the arsh. So they take a kind of a literal meaning of this. But again, it is wrong to say Allah is above there and not here. That is one extreme. Because what you're doing again is you're limiting Allah to what? You're limiting Allah to what? A dimension. It's wrong to say that. Now that's one party. The other party says that Allah is everywhere. Allah is everywhere. Meaning that Allah is in every single space. Everywhere would mean what? Allah is in every single possible space. That is also incorrect. Because if you say that Allah is everywhere, what have you done? You have put Allah where? Within creation. We are saying within his own creation of dimension, you put Him inside there, and you're saying that He is in His creation. So, and we have got nothing in the actual Quran or the Sunnah to either go of this first party that says He's just above, or the other one that says He's everywhere. Now the first part you have cited certain things of istawa and said he's transcended or he's ascended or so, and so on above. Again, Imam Malik rahimahullah, he has said, al-istiwa'u majhul. Al-istiwa, what did Allah actually mean by when he said the word, he's used the word istiwa for himself? This is something which we have no knowledge of. Kayfiyatuhu ma'lum. We know on this earth, if you say somebody has ascended, somebody descended, we know the meanings of these things. But with regards to Allah, we don't know. And he has said, the best thing is not to question. And even if you question, he has called that a bid'ah, he has called that an innovation. وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَةٌ. He said this is an invasion. Which means what? Some of these things that Allah has used for Himself, we leave it to Him. That's the best way to leave it to. Now if somebody says to you, well, what do you believe? Ain Allah, or where is Allah? The thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe is in existence and I'm a mu'min by that. Khalas. I believe in His existence and I'm a mu'min. And this phrase of Ain Allah, inshallah in another part we'll cover the ahadith of this. It was only used a couple of times by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to verify the iman of a young girl. It was only used a couple of times to verify the iman of a young girl. When a sahabi came and he said, Messenger of Allah, I have to release a slave that is a believing slave. So can you tell me if this girl is a believing slave? And to that individual, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked, Ain Allah? Now there's about three or four different narrations regarding this. One of them suggests that she couldn't speak. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to question her in a different way, different to what he'd done in many different ahadith. How did he verify the iman in many different ahadith? He said, "Atashhadu an la ilaha illallah." He said, do you actually witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah? Or he would say, you know, atu'minu billah, do you believe in Allah? And so on. But on this occasion, he decided to say, ayna Allah. For whatever the reason is, it does not give reason to anyone to use this one method, which is only used once or a couple of times in the sunnah, over the many different methods that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to verify one's iman. So Ain Allah should not be a question that we use, you know, tell me where is Allah. If you get that answer wrong, then you're going to be a kafir. That's not the way to actually go about, to try and, you know, if you say this answer, you might be a kafir. If it's that answer, you might be a kafir. That's not the way to go about it. What is important is, do you believe in Allah? If you want to find out, mu'min, do you believe in Allah? Yes, I do believe in Allah. Khalas. You don't need to go into, you know, the details of, you know, if I just believe in His existence, that's fine. Coming back to this thing about Allah Azza wa Jal, I said to you, it's wrong to believe that He's everywhere. He's wrong to believe that He's in a particular place. Why? Because you don't know. I don't know. You don't know from something that is absolutely clear in the Quran and the Sunnah. The best thing we can say is that Allah has made one thing clear inside the Quran and Sunnah, which is His existence. We believe in His existence. We believe that He is there. And we don't need to go into details of exactly where. Now, if there are ulama, scholars who go into those debates, let the scholars go into the debates. But it's not something which the common people need to go into as a debate. The other thing I was going to cover is from this hadith of Bukhari. In 3191 of Bukhari, there's that hadith about... He says, "Kana Allah wa la shay'a ma'ahu." Allah was there, there's nothing else at all that was with Him. Now, if a person starts to think, okay, I'm thinking about Allah, and I'm thinking, one of the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that he said, "Tafakkaru fi khalqillah wa la tafakkaru fillah." He said, think, ponder, and continue to think about what? About the creation of God. And he also told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's told us, don't think and ponder about Allah. Don't think and ponder about Allah. This is one thing wrong to do. If one thinks about the extents of Allah's sifat, of His attributes, or if one thinks about how merciful Allah is, How merciful. So if one sits and sings, Subhanallah, Allah gave mercy to that bird to feed its young. Subhanallah, Allah gave mercy to the mother to feed her. Subhanallah, Allah gave mercy to this person, has cured them. Subhanallah, Allah has given mercy to, you know, this person, and this person forgiven that other person. This is fine. So you're thinking about the creation of God, where Allah's mercy is there in the creation of God. You think of Allah's ilm of how Allah has given this person knowledge and that person knowledge and so on. This is fine. But if you actually think about Allah Himself, okay, I'm now thinking about Allah. How wonderful you are. Without thinking of the creation, you start thinking about Allah. This is a no-go zone. Because you will eventually end up starting to have doubts about Allah, because the ultimate waswasa that the shaitan will put inside is, this is the creation of God, so where is Allah? Now, so this is the creation of God, so who created God? Who created Allah? Now, we don't go towards that, but it's a question that might occur, and especially, you know, us living in this day and age. And, you know, youngsters who go to school, they always are bombarded with these questions. You know, so who created God? Especially with the atheists, they'll ask this question. Who created God? So was God, you know, what was there before God? Now, if we as human beings, you're used to always of thinking of things in time and dimension. We are bound with that. We've never been out of that. Never. So for example, if I ask you who was there before, you say, well, my mom and dad were there before me. Well, who was there before them? Well, it was my grandparents. Who was there before that? Well, it was my great grandparents. And then you can go with a tree all the way to Adam alayhi salam. Okay? You can go back with Adam to Adam. So if I say in this masjid, who came first? You say, well, you know, the uncle over there came first, or the caretaker came first and he opened the masjid, and then he came in and so and so came in and so on. But then if you say, well, who was before the caretaker? You say, oh, the masjid was empty. Now, normally in this world, there's always the thing of something possibly didn't exist or wasn't there before something actually came into existence. With Allah Azza wa Jal, this thing does not work. This thing does not work. Because something to have a beginning, to create the beginning, that is Allah's power. Because he's badi'a. Badi'a means that he creates something without having any prior existence, any molecules, anything whatsoever before that. Allah Azza wa Jal creates it. And for Allah to bring something to an end, this is also his doing. He can bring something to an end. But to apply these rules, these laws to the Creator himself is wrong. And people then, you know, might still stay confused. They think, well, how can Allah just be there? How can Allah just be there? How can He have just come into? Because you're so used to this rule of you see a wooden table, so you think of a carpenter. There must have been a carpenter to create the wooden table. You're so used to thinking of, you know, this is steel here that I've got. There must have been a blacksmith that has shaped the steel into his place. We're so used to everything in this entire world. Allah has put it into, you know, the physics of this world is, or the norm of this world is, that you will find one thing that has been the source of another thing. That is in this world. But with Allah Azza wa Jal, it doesn't work with Him. That question doesn't work with Him. And He's given us a couple of things. He's given us a couple of things to think about. Which is what? Which is that the human yourself, Allah has said in the Holy Quran, this is my creation. Allah has said in the Holy Quran, this is what I've created. And Allah has told us, now go and explore my creation. So He's told us in a lot of things, okay? He's told us, He says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. It's a beautiful ayah of last verse, or towards the end of Surah Hamim al-Sajda. Towards the end of Hamim al-Sajda. Allah said, I will show them my signs in the horizons, and I will show them within the human beings themselves. Okay, two things He said. in the horizons and the human beings themselves, I will show my signs. Now what does that mean? Have humans explored the whole of the universe? Yes or no? Yes or no? Come on. Have they now completed the exploration of the whole of the universe? Yes or no?
No.
How much percent would you say that they have explored of Allah's universe, of the cosmos, of the galaxies, of the Milky Ways, of the stars? That is, how many percent would you say that humans? Less than 5%. Thank you. Even then, to even claim less than 5%, because we don't know what's beyond the galaxies we know today, it's even then it would be a far claim to make that. And how much have we discovered of the human being when you look inside the human being? So you're looking right at the depths of the nerves and the cells and the parts of the brain or the heart. How much have we discovered of the human being? Sorry? You're saying 50%, yeah? I wouldn't even say 50%. Because before they discovered the DNA, in the 50s, before they discovered the DNA, doctors thought, and researchers thought, that they had, like you're saying, a good 80%, a good 50, 60, 70% they discovered of the human being. And tell me, there's a doctor here, tell me how has the discovery of the DNA revolutionized the way we think about the human being? How has he done that? It's been phenomenal, right? It's been absolutely phenomenal. It's like almost discovering, it's almost like makes us feel that, we did not even know anything about the human being. And when the DNA, they discovered that and it came to the gene code, and now they've said that they've broken, they've come to the end of the gene code and so on. It's still just the beginning. Imagine human beings on this earth have discovered this body, they've been looking at this body for centuries, for millennia. They've been looking at this body. And in the 50s, just 50 years ago, 60 years ago, Allah just says, well, you think you know it all? You think you know it all? Okay, here's DNA. It's always been in the human being. So now they think, wow, they've got millions of genes to work with now. What happens if I put this gene with that gene? What happens if I take away this gene? What if I do that? What if I put that? They're just baffled. It's now opened fields for hundreds of new scientists to be born, to just discover the human being. Now about the cosmos, my brother said that maybe less than 5% has been discovered. If less than 5% is true, I would say less than 1%. We don't even have, because humans haven't even landed on Mars yet. They haven't landed on, Venus or Mars or whatever, the closest planets to us. They haven't landed on those. Once they land on those, if they ever get there, there's a lot of discovery to be done. And that's only one star, one planet, out of the millions and millions Allah has created. Who knows what's on what planet? Who knows what is beyond these stars that we see every night? Who knows? Allahu Akbar. And they've just about, they say they landed on the moon. I mean, that was a whole hoax in the 60s, whether they did it or not. But whether they did it after that or not, the moon is just one. They only know a little about the sun. They only know a little about these, the Van Allen belt. They know a little about, space. And we've been to space. But this is only just outside of, this just outside of the earth. It's almost like saying, imagine this. Imagine in this hall right now, we've got a small bacteria. Imagine you've got a small bacteria inside the carpet. You know that carpet, there's millions of bacteria. You know that, right? Remember that when you do sujood next time, yeah? Don't worry about it, yeah? Don't get carried away by it. Now, there's a lot of bacteria inside there. Imagine one of them, a clever little bacteria out there, in that carpet, just comes to the surface of the carpet and he sees this entire carpet. And he says, wow, That's a universe. What did he say? That's a universe. And it's so small that you need, you know, a good microscope to just about able to see him. But he feels with his little mates, and there's a few bacteria that they all feel that they now have seen this, they now need to discover. Imagine they discover this whole room. What's this room to the whole dunya? What's this room to the whole of our planet Earth? If they feel that they know planet Earth and the whole of existence by just knowing this hole here, are you going to agree with me that they've totally lost it? Yeah, you'll agree with me, they've totally lost it. What on earth do they think this is? The same way as humans, if humans think that they've discovered the whole of the universe by having, you know, telescopes and having certain strong lenses that they can look through to the universe, this is nothing at all. And what Allah is doing here is i'jaz. What's i'jaz? I'jaz is to make you feel absolutely powerless. This is why we call mu'jiza, mu'jiza. When a prophet comes with a mu'jiza or he comes with a miracle, why is a miracle called a mu'jiza? Because when you're in front of the mu'jiza, you're absolutely powerless. You've got no explanation, you've got no theory that will help you, you've got no equipment that you can use to try and verify, you got nothing. If you look at Musa alayhi salam, when he put his stick onto the ground, subhanallah al-azim, you know, this is mu'jiza, because all those other magicians, they came and they put their ropes and their sticks, and it was, the people's eyes were mesmerized, and the eyes saw these things moving. Wow, these are snakes, and whoa, and they've got a massive circle. It's their day of Eid, day of celebration, the whole city's here, and they've got a massive circle, and the magicians are in the middle. Fir'aun is sitting there on his throne, and he's laughing, because these magicians, they've come and they put the sticks and the ropes down, and everyone's now seeing snakes. They're seeing snakes, and they're seeing things actually move. But the Quran says, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. It was made to their eyes. There's a power, they bewitched the eyes. And the eyes were bewitched, and their eyes were made to see certain things moving, when none of these things were actually snakes, and they were not moving the way that they saw them. Now, what's a magician going to do? A magician, if he came to challenge, these are the best magicians. These are the ones that they used to, you know, mesmerize people all over Egypt. And Egypt at that time was one of the biggest major cities across the whole of Arabia. And Arabia at that time was one of the centers of the world. So now you can't get better than these. And as they're there, they're feeling, well, who's gonna, you know, what's a magician gonna do? A magician's gonna come, he's gonna probably put a bigger stick, whatever he's got, and it's just going to be another snake that's going to move. Or what's going to make? A scorpion move? What's going to make? They thought, okay, they know the laws of magic. And Musa alayhi salam, he feels that, oh, Ya Rab, you know, I'm overpowered here. And Allah says, you know, because Allah says, فَأَوْجَزَ فِي نَفْسِ خِيْفَ. He had a fear inside him which he didn't reveal on the outside. Khifa. And then Musa alayhi salam was told to throw his stick down. He threw it down. What happened here? What happened is, his one actually turned into a real snake. And it wasn't just a real snake. It turned into a massive, huge, towering, you know, one of those anacondas, or whatever you want to, you know, imagine, I don't know what, but it must have been bigger than that. Because it was towering over people. It was so large that people actually were ready to run. And said, because don't forget, the first time Musa alayhi salam saw it, he ran. The first time Musa alayhi salam in Mount Tur, you know, Allah said to him, "What have you got in your hand?" And he said, "In my hand, I've got, you know, a stick. I take the leaves down with it. I basically lean on it, and I look after my sheep with it." Allah says, "Okay, throw it down." So he threw it down. When he turned to that servant, Musa alayhi salam ran. And Allah said, "Come back, come back, come back, come back, touch it. Touch it." he'll turn back to what it is. And he came slowly, 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 and he touched the thing and he turned back to his stick. Now he's lost that fear. But in this circle, when he threw it down, this snake was a real snake. A massive one. Towering people's heads. Did what? Went and sucked in all their sticks and ropes inside it. Forget showing a little trick. This thing sucked all of them inside it. And then Musa wasn't there, he touched his snake, turned into a stick, and he had it in his hand. Now they've got no sticks left. They've got nothing to throw the magic with. Now this is mu'jiza. This is ours. What is it? This is absolutely powerless. These magicians are absolutely powerless in front of the mu'jiza. So what Allah is doing in the cosmos and what Allah is doing inside the human being is when He shows the scientists, the doctors, whoever they are, when Allah does this, He is showing mu'jizat. He's showing them that they are absolutely powerless in front of His mercy, in front of His qudra and His power. And that is Allah Azza wa Jal. So when we, now this is one thing Allah has given us to think about, when you want to think about His existence, I'm coming back now, right now, to my original point. My original point is what? That if you human beings, imagine that you're talking to that bacteria on the ground. Can you ever make this bacteria on the ground, that it thinks that this hole is His universe, can you make that bacteria understand ever what it is to know the world? Can you ever do that? And if he was to look at you as a human being, and he says, wow, these are the people that, you know, rule the earth, right? So if I know one of these, then I know who it is. Has he got, that bacteria, got any way of understanding the human mind, the brain? Yes or no, guys? No. Has he even got 0.00000001% of any way of understanding the human being and what we are? Yes or no? No. So Allah is telling us and showing us that if this is your creation, if this is you, and there's other creation, no way they will ever understand you. And you're a creation, there is no way you will understand me. There is absolutely no way a human being can sit here and start thinking about Allah and start thinking, okay, Allah was this, Allah was that. All these philosophers are just wasting their time. Because what are they doing? If you start to think about Allah, you're doing dhan. Dhan. Dhan is conjecture. You're playing a guessing game. You've got no proof. You're just playing with your mind and about possibilities. And Allah has said, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ. All they're doing is they are pursuing their conjecture, their own guesstimation, their own guesses and their own estimation, whatever you want to call it, about Allah. Allah says, وَمَا إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. Dhan, conjecture, thought, where you've got no proof, reveals you nothing of the truth. So the whole of philosophers, all of the philosophers, and all of their different different departments and people, and all of their books, and all of their literature, and all of their, you know, all of the atheists and other one, whoever has thought about Allah Azza wa Jal, and they made this conclusion, that conclusion, they are just bacteria on the carpet. What are they, brothers? They're just bacteria inside the carpet, on the surface of this carpet. And they think that they have known and reached the end of knowing Allah Azza wa Jal, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And any Muslim that feels that they can think about Allah and come to conclusions, you cannot. There is absolutely no way you can. I mean, if I just say to you, can you actually imagine what it is about infinite? Infinite. Infinite means what? That it has no end. Allah is infinite. Allah is infinite. So let's just think about, you know, people's waswasa is about the past. So what was there before Allah? This is the waswasa that the shaitan gives. Now okay, let's just say Let's just say to those people who have that waswasa inside them, okay, Allah Azza wa Jalla is infinite, yes or no? So they say, okay, Allah is infinite. Now, ask any human being to think about infinity. Go on, try it. Think about something that is endless, that you try and come to the end of, but it doesn't end. It just carries on going. And you try and see the end of, no, it doesn't end. It goes on and 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 on. Now, if I leave you here for 24 hours, yeah, and still thinking about infinity, you're gonna go mad. If I leave you here for a week, you'll be hospitalized. Because a human being can't think about, you can understand infinity by its concept, but you cannot actually physically feel it or comprehend it in a way that you fully can, you know, with your mind, you've got an experience of it. You can't experience infinity. The same way, if you can't do that way, you cannot understand Allah's infinity backwards. Because to you it's backwards, so Allah is not backwards. To a human being, they will think, oh, Allah was there, so was before him. They're thinking about backward. Why? Because the human being is got a past behind him, he's got a present right now, and he's got a future ahead of him. So the human being can only think about past, present, future. Allah has no past, Allah has no present, Allah has no future, because Allah created the past, Allah created the present, Allah creates a future. Allah has none of that. So Allah's never had a past. Allah's never had a past. Never had a present. Never had a future. None of these apply to Allah. None of these apply to Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla simply, He was there. That's a hadith says, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَا شَيْءٍ مَعَهُ. He was always just there. Always just there. And once he decided he wanted to create, he created the pen. أَوَّلَ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ اللَّهُ. The first thing that Allah created according to Hadith of Muslim is the pen. So he told the pen, he created the tablet, and then Allah said to the pen, write now onto the tablet. So the pen wrote on the tablet. And it wrote everything that Allah would now create. The whole of his creation, it was written on this tablet. Then he created, you know, the angels, or he created, you know, some existence of this or that, you know, of the cosmos, or he created whatever he created on, you know, of this whole universe, of the earth, of the skies, of the gases, or whatever he created that. But this was when Allah decided to do that. But Allah's just always been there. Allah's, you know, هو الأول ليس قبله شيء. If you want to think about first, then you just say Allah is the first. But we don't mean Allah is the first in the sense that there was a zero and then there was number one. No. There's no such thing as zero with Allah. He was always there. Existence has always been there. And if you cannot actually get this concept in your head, best thing to do, as I've said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is tafakkaru fi khalqi Allah. You think about the creation of Allah, but you don't actually think about Allah Azza wa Jal himself.
اقرأ كتاب الله ترق جنانه وتنى العظيم الأجر والغفران.